She could not believe he was letting her touch it. His own friends were not allowed to touch it. Weekends, her father not only washed the car by hand, lovingly, but he dusted the interior and used Q-tips to get the edges. It was one of the reasons for the divorce. Mom said he loved the car more than he loved her. The whole phone call was weird. She went to her father's office. It was the size of a closet, built-in desktop with home computer, fax, phone, and so forth. The condo was not large, and everything was built in. Alice loved it. The neatness and sharp angles of everything. Such a contrast to her mother's house, with its stuffed animals and heart stencils and lace. Alice's mother even had a mouse pad with cross-stitch patterns printed on it. It was fun to go back and forth, to live in plain gray and white at one place, and then in a riot of colors and textures in the other. Even her parents were like that, the plain father, the textured mother. She could not put this phone call into the pattern. The disc, twin, was in the little plastic storage box in the drawer where Dad had said it would be. Its repeat was in the fireproof safe behind her father's shoes. She was embarrassed to be rooting around in her father's things. His neatly polished shoes and the hanging cuffs of his suit pants seemed too private to be near. She held the discs awkwardly. She should carry them in something. But what? The condo was on one floor. She went into the kitchen, an incredibly neat little space. With more built-ins than you could believe, but very little counter. This was okay, because Dad didn't cook. He heated things, like pork chops, and he microwaved things, like baked potatoes. But he didn't combine ingredients and stir. She found a Ziploc sandwich bag and dropped the discs in. She was wearing blue jeans with the knees torn out. This was done in part because both parents hated these jeans. "We earn plenty of money," they would snap. "Could you please dress like a person with a home instead of a person who scouts out doorways in which to sleep?" These were not clothes in which to drive a Corvette. Alice took the discs to her room. Her room was also small, the bed pressed up against a wall, which made it difficult to tuck in the sheets. It had just started to be okay with Mom for Alice to stay with Dad sometimes. It had just started for Mom and Dad to speak civilly to each other and not be gritting their teeth to do it. Just this month, Mom was willing to concede that Dad could have slightly different rules and standards. Not very different. Different by a molecule. It was hard to imagine Mom agreeing that Alice, who didn't have a license yet, could hop into the Corvette and drive across town in the midst of noontime traffic. What had that little pause been? As if Dad had to monitor his speech. He hadn't named her destination, said, "The place where you like to get milkshakes." It was out of town and up the river, a shack of a place. But they used local milk and cream and ice cream and made the richest, most wonderful milkshakes. Alice and Dad loved that little excursion. Salmon River Road was very curvy, and in the vet, Alice would hang onto her seatbelt and giggle like a three-year-old as Dad whiplashed the car. "You aren't allowed to drive like this," he would tell her. Alice would laugh. "Just you wait. I'm going to be a seriously dangerous driver in another week or two." Alice didn't know how to think in miles yet. She wasn't sure how far it was to Salmon River. She wasn't sure how much time it took to get there, either. You didn't think about that when you were the passenger. What she did think was, if she dented the Corvette, Dad would kill her. Driving the Corvette was scary. It was so long and low that your whole view of the road was different, and it had so much power. If she hit mailboxes, just trying to get out of the condominium complex, she would die of embarrassment right there. Mom's car, the one Alice usually practiced on, was a dull old Nissan.